Today's message is called, It's Not Me. Now, when I was growing up, I'm pretty sure that that was my name. Because if ever my parents pointed at me, I would go, It's not me. And I was one of those kids that was always getting into trouble. You know, I had three brothers, but I think I got into three times as much trouble as the three of them. You know, I probably got into twice as much trouble as the total, all of them put together. Of course, I also ate as much as them put together. So for some reason, I was just that kid that was the one that was always finding a way to get into trouble. And I remember one time I got a hold of a screwdriver, and I was so excited. I was a small young kid, probably about 5 or 6, and I decided to go around the house and find everything that had a screw and unscrew it. So I was unscrewing hinges, and I was unscrewing doorknobs, and I was unscrewing those little electrical outlets, and anything that had a screw that I could find, I unscrewed it. Well, a few weeks later, my father is marching around the house complaining that this place is falling apart. And he says, I know that you kids are breaking it. And I said, it's not me. But that was the stuff I was getting into all the time as a kid. I remember one day, I was trying to get the hood of my father's car open. He had this big 64 Ford Galaxy. And those things were like big, massive boats. And they had huge, heavy hoods that were really made of real steel, not like today. And so for a little kid to try to open those, it was really hard. And I'm not sure why I was trying to open the hood. I might have had a screwdriver, thinking I could unscrew something in there. And I went ahead and I got the first latch of the hood undone, but it had a second latch. And I couldn't figure out how to unlatch the second latch. Well, now that I had the first latch done and couldn't get the second one done, I couldn't get the hood open, so my screwdriver was useless. But I also was not able to get the hood closed so that both latches were closed, but it looked like it was closed visually. So later that afternoon, the whole family loads into the car, and we lived out in the country on a farm, and we get out on this gravel road, and we're heading to town. And you know how those big boats ride? They kind of ride like this on the bumps. And we're bouncing along, going there on that gravel road, and we hit one of those bumps. And that hood comes flying up. And man, the wind caught that thing, and it flipped off. It smacked the top of the car really hard, left a big dent, and then whistled off into the ditch. Man, when my father got done swearing, which I think that took a long time, he finally looks at us kids and he says, I know it was one of you. And I said, it's not me. It was me. You know, there were times where I wish it wasn't me, but usually it was me. But I want to read something to you from Paul. And this is in Romans 7. And Paul has discovered something that I discovered as a kid. Or at least I'd hoped that I discovered. Now, listen to this in Romans 7, 14. Now, listen carefully. I hope you've had your coffee and you're awake and you're really listening clearly, because this, you're going to need all your concentration to understand what he is saying here. Verse 14. This is Paul speaking. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it. It is no longer I who do it. He's saying, it's not me, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me. So Paul has discovered something. It's not me. What he is saying here, if I sum it up, he's saying there are things that I want to do. There are things that I will, that I want to get doing in my life. And I'm not doing them. I can't do them. And then there are other things I don't want to do. There's stuff that I don't want to have any part of. And yet, that's the stuff that I'm doing. And what he suddenly realizes is that, wait a minute, if the stuff that I want to do, I'm not doing, and the stuff that I don't want to do, I'm doing, that means there's something else making me do the things I don't want to do. Aha! It's not me, is what he's saying. It's not me. And this was a revelation that Paul has, and he's writing about it in a very interesting way that makes it sound like some sort of Dr. Seuss book. It could make a very good Dr. Seuss book. But here what he's really saying is he's saying there is something else that is making me to do the things I don't want to do. And this is important because we need to understand that, because a lot of times what we do in life is we chalk it up to, well, it's hormonal. Well, it's chemical. Well, it's psychological. Well, you know, it's what I ate. And so we always put it on something else. He's talking about something bigger than this, though. He's talking about something on a whole nother level than this. Let's go to another verse where he talks, because he has discovered something very interesting. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing again, and he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So he's talking that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, he's not just talking about the emotion of fear. He is talking about a spirit that wills fear upon you, that puts fear into your mind, that stirs up fear that is there, that makes you agitated. He is talking about a spirit that torments you and makes you afraid. He is talking about a force of darkness outside of you that has the ability to tap into your emotions and tickle them a little, to bother you a little, and put thoughts in your mind, and bring up memories of things that bother you, that make you afraid. And he's talking about that spirit. And he is saying that God has not given you that spirit. What spirit has he given you? He's saying one of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God has given you a different spirit. Now, he is talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that spirit of love. That's what God has given us. And what we are talking about here today is that with us, with each of you, there are spirits. And there are good spirits, and there are evil spirits. And the evil ones are trying to get you things that you to do that you do not want to do, and yet you still are doing those things that you do not want to do, because those spirits are making you do that. And then there are angelic spirits. Now, the angelic spirits don't make you do anything. They're there to stop the other spirits from driving you completely insane. They're there to protect you and protect your right to free will and free choice. So they're trying to say, all right, you guys, stop bothering him. Leave him alone. Give him a chance to do something he wants to do. So that's what's happening with us. Now, the first time that I read about this and started thinking about this, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe that there could be spirits with me. And some people have one good spirit and one bad one, and some have hundreds and some have thousands around them, but everybody has an equal amount of both. If you have one, then you have one. If you have 10, then you have 10. So they're balanced out. But I didn't want to believe that that was true. Why? Because I never saw it, and I want to believe that I'm in control of my life. I want to believe that I'm the one making the decisions here in my life. I'm the one that's choosing to unscrew things. I'm the one that's choosing what I'm going to say in my life and what I'm going to do in my life and what I'm going to think in my life and what I'm going to feel in my life. But the truth is, that's not true, as Paul discovered. That is not the case. I am not the one that is in control. I don't have any control. And he has realized this here. He has realized, if I had control, I would do the things I wanted to do. Now, in your life and in other people's lives that you look around and see, you can see this at work. There are sometimes people who have addictions. And you know that when you talk to those people, they want to stop. They want to stop that gambling, or they want to stop that drinking, or they want to stop those drugs. And they'll tell you how they want to stop them, and yet you'll see them still doing it.
There.
This guy is being tormented and made to do something he doesn't want to do by forces of darkness. There is something greater than just the physical happening with him, than just hormones and chemicals and psychology. There is something in the spiritual that we do not see. And that part that we do not see, if we don't understand that, we are now not equipped to battle and go against the things that come against us, because we're going to try to fight it with our physical body, with our physical strength, and there is no way that we can do that. We cannot overpower the things that are spiritual, that have supernatural power, that has spiritual power, that is beyond physical power, that is greater than physical power. We cannot defeat those things with physical power. But we do have to understand that this is what's happening, even though we may not see it. Because some people do not see into the spiritual, meaning you do not see the angels, you do not see the demons, you do not see these forces acting upon you, and you do not see them acting upon other people. All you see are the actions that you're taking, and the thoughts that you're having, and the emotions that you're having, and the things that you're choosing, and yet, it's not me. Somebody else has been getting into the mix and messing with my thoughts, and messing with my emotions, and messing with my choices, and as a result of that, I'm doing the things I do not want to do, and I'm not doing the things I want to do as a result of that, as Paul has realized here. So, let's take a look down here in Ephesians. Again, this is Paul talking. And he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." He has realized who it is that's putting these thoughts into him and making him do the things he does not want to do. He is realizing that it is rulers of darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness that are trying to have their way with him. And that is not the spirit that God has given us, though. Yeah. He has given us a spirit, the Holy Spirit, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But we must realize that this is what the reality is. I remember, you know, when I first heard about it, as I said, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't accept it at first because I thought, this is crazy. I'm sure that I'm the one that's thinking my thoughts. I'm sure the one that's having my emotions. And yes, I was thinking my thoughts. And yes, I was feeling those emotions. The problem was they weren't my thoughts and they weren't my emotions, but I was convinced that they were. I was convinced this is my thoughts. This is my emotions. But they were not. They were coming from these guys, as Paul says here, spiritual hosts of wickedness, which means they were not the thoughts of joy and peace and comfort. They were not that relaxing, calm, confident thoughts that come when we're connected with God. They were different thoughts. They were thoughts that agitated and made me upset and made me nervous and made me anxious. And so this is the reality of what's happening here. Now, let's go on and read a little bit more from what Paul was saying back here, where he was saying the part about that it was not him, and that the things he wanted to do, he wasn't doing, and the things he didn't want to do, he was doing. Don't worry, I'm not going to read that part again. you've got that. But let's go on from there. So he says in verse 22 of Romans 7, he says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man," the spiritual man, the inward man. "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He is now talking about the solution to the problem. He has seen the problem. The problem is he's doing what he doesn't want to do, and he has seen that, as he calls it, spiritual hosts of wickedness, rulers of darkness, are the ones that are making him do the things he doesn't want to do. But now we are talking about, here in verse 22 and 23, we are talking about him being captive by those forces of darkness, being held by them. You were a prisoner. You have no choice when you're with them. As he said, if you had a choice, you would do the things you want to do. But you're not having a choice. You're doing the things you don't want to do. So you don't have a choice. They're making you do things you don't want to do. It's not me. But because we were in captivity, there was a solution. And that solution, as he says here in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go to another verse that's going to talk a little bit more about the solution. Because we want to start to focus on the solution. Now we understand what the problem is. We don't want to try to fight against it carnally or against it with our physical strength. Because our physical strength has no power against spiritual hosts of wickedness, against rulers of darkness. We don't have power against that on our own might and our own strength. We can't even fathom that they're there, let alone battle against them. So let's take a look at something else here. Now, this is in Romans 14, verse 7. And here he says, again, it's still Paul talking. Paul is coming to these realizations. He's spelling it out for us. He says, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Now, we've already talked about this. Nobody's living to themselves. We're either following rulers of darkness, or we're following God. Nobody's living to themselves, meaning nobody is free and doing the things they want to do or that they, you know, just going on their own. They're not having these thoughts or emotions on their own. They are coming from an outside source. And that outside source can be something you don't want to do, or that outside source can be something you do want to do. So he is saying again, he is saying, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Now, he is talking here about something a little different. He is saying, for those of you, listen up, for those of you who invited Jesus to come into your heart, for those of you who invited Jesus to come into your heart, there is now something else speaking into your heart, something else filling your mind with thoughts, something else filling your body with wonderful feelings of peace and joy. And he is saying that is the Lord. Those who invited Jesus to come into their heart are liberated. Remember, God came down to walk onto the earth. Why? To set us free, because we were captive under these rulers of darkness that were manipulating us, making us do things we did not want to do. And we couldn't get out of it until God came. Listen to what he says here in verse 9 of that Romans 14. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Lord means ruler. Lord means authority. He is the Lord of both the living and the dead, meaning he has power over all things on heaven and earth. This is the reason God came down as Jesus and walked on the earth. He did it. He lived and he died and he lived again so that he could now have authority over all rulers of darkness or those of the light, the spirits of the light. He could have ruler over all that. And now when we invite Jesus to come into our hearts, he gives us the authority and the power now so that nothing has power over us. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Nothing has power over us now, but we now have power over it, over them. This is the gift that God has given us. As we read here, this was the whole reason. He says, for this end, Christ died, rose, and lived again. For this end, to set us free. We were captive, as he said earlier, but now we are liberated. Jesus came to liberate us. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we are now liberated and free from the rulers of darkness, from the spiritual hosts of wickedness. Say amen to that. That now means that the thoughts, remember, let's go back to that verse. He said he has not given us a spirit of fear. He also did not give us a spirit of sickness, meaning those spirits that try to bring sickness upon us. He did not give us a spirit of anger. He did not give us a spirit of anguish. He did not give us a spirit of strife. He did not give us a spirit of wickedness. He didn't give us those spirits. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. The spirit that came from him is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit now dwells inside of us. Not just lingering near us, but dwelling inside of us. That is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love that now lives on the inside. And that life-giving force comes forward from it that fills our thoughts with peace. That's the kind of thoughts we begin to have. We have emotions of peace and calmness and power and confidence. Amen. And we begin to start to feel who we really are because we have been set free from the rulers of darkness. And we now walk in the light. Amen. And nothing can stand in the light with the Lord. When we invite him into our heart, we now have the power to rule over this world. We have the power to rule over the darkness. This is what God has given us. We have the power to change situations. But we have to remember that out there in the world, there are people that are still under the influence of spirits. And as we says, Paul calls them rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. They're out there still talking to people. You see a person who's drug addicted. You know there is something else going on beyond the physical. Do not be sucked into chemical dependency, psychological bubble, bubble. But realize that there is a greater power beyond the physical that will not be able to stand against the power of the Lord. You can do every program upon the earth to try to kick the addiction, but until the power of the Lord comes in to set that person free, they will not be free. Because those spirits will still be speaking into their ear and still be making them doing the things they do not want to do. Those people don't want to do that, but they're doing it. Because something is making them do what they don't want to do, as Paul realized. It's not me. And we got to realize when we go out into the world, it's not them. They don't want to do those things. As Jesus walked on the earth, he showed us this time and time again. He was casting out spirits. And interesting things were happening when he was casting out spirits. Let's take a look at a few examples. Now, there was... here's one. This is interesting. This is from Matthew 9:32. Now, there was a man brought to him that was mute and demon-possessed. And Jesus cast out this spirit that was upon him, and now he was able to speak. This man did not want to be mute. He didn't want to be not to be able to speak, but this spirit was making him. Now that the spirit was cast out, he was able to speak. Amen?
Amen.
Is anybody getting this? He was set free. He was liberated now to be his true self, to be who God had created him to be. And he was, because before he was unable to speak, his mouth was closed by the spirits that were with him until Jesus came and cast them out. Mary Magdala had 7 demons with her, it said. 7 demons with her. I believe that she was a prostitute. Jesus came, cast those out, and now she was free. Was she any longer a prostitute? No. She now was working in the ministry. She was working with Jesus to help him and the other disciples. She was the first one that came to the tomb and found that he wasn't there and said, "Where is he?" He rose. But she wouldn't have been doing that if she still was filled with those spirits, because those spirits would have been talking to her mind and making her do things that she did not want to do. And now they're cast out, so she is free to do the things that she wants to do. And she wanted to serve God. She wanted to be a blessing. She wanted to be helping other people. And that's what she gets to do now. Say amen, amen. To that.
Amen.
This is incredible. So understand, there were sick. There was a man who was going into seizures. This man was brought to Jesus. Jesus cast the demon out. He was demon possessed, it says. He cast the demon out, and now the man no longer had seizures. He was set free. Say amen,
amen.
To that.
Amen.
See, these forces of darkness, rulers of darkness beyond the physical, are causing physical problems. They're causing seizures. They're causing people not to be able to speak. They're causing people to get into behaviors that they don't want to do. And you know, if you talk to them, they say they don't want to do it, but they can't stop doing it because they're making them do it. And now Jesus is setting them free. And Jesus, as he sets them free, they go on to do other things. They no longer are doing what they don't want to do. They're now doing what they want to do.
Amen.
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 This is a cool case here. This man in Mark chapter 5. Now this man, it says Jesus came. This man, oh, I got to read this. This is cool. Okay, so Jesus gets out of this boat. And when he came out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, a demon, and who had his dwelling among the tombs. This is where the man lived, in the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles had been broken in pieces, and neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Doesn't this sound like a few of your neighbors that you have? Yeah? No, but not to be funny, but think about what was happening with this man. This man is living in the tombs. He's a homeless man. This is a man who is cutting himself. He's crying. He's shouting. He can't even be tamed. That means he was like an animal, is what they're saying. He can't be tamed. And he couldn't be chained because the power of these demons would break these chains. And so he's out there and he's got no clothes. He's homeless. He's like a wild beast. Does he want to be like that? I don't think so. I don't think that's what he wants. And if we look a little bit further, if we go down, Jesus cast out these demons. And it was not just one demon. As it says here, it talks about a legion, which is a lot of demons. And he cast them out into a herd of swine, and these pigs ran down this hill right into the sea, and that was it. But now let's go a little bit further, because here's what I want to see. Now the people, they heard about this, and they came out to see what was going on. And then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind. This man is now sitting, and he's clothed. He's relaxing, kind of kicking back. They're having a little picnic out there, and he's in his right mind. He is calm and peaceful. He has a sound mind. He has love and he has power because Jesus came and filled him with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love. And he cast out the spirits of all these things that this man was going through. He is freed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
This is good stuff. Now, in our own lives, sometimes we are not completely aware or thinking like that, and so we begin to beat ourselves up, much as even we hear Paul saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Sometimes we get into that kind of mode and start to beat ourselves up, but we got to remember, no. It's not me.
Amen.
Remember me as a kid. It's not me. And in this case, it's not me. And what we do is, as we realize it's not me, then we don't have to beat ourselves up. And what we can do now is we've been given the authority and the power to cast out demons. We don't just have to, oh, here it is in Mark 16, 17. We don't just have to put up with it and feel like, well, I have no choice. I'm going to go along with it. No, because Jesus has liberated us and given us freedom. So now we do have choice. And these signs will follow those who believe. That's you.
Amen.
Say, that's me.
Amen. That's me.
In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
One of the things he said there, they will cast out demons. Why did he give us that power? Remember, when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, he gave them that same power. He said, you will go out and you'll cast out demons. When he sent out the 70, he sent out 70 people into the land. He gave them that same power to cast out demons. Why is that so important? Because that is the liberating power of the Lord that he is giving you right there to set them free from sickness, to set them free from addictions, to set them free from all the things that are making them do the things they don't want to do. And now they get filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of power and a sound mind.
Amen.
And now they can do the things they want to do.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen to that. And this is for you to understand that this is the power that you have. You have, say, I have this power.
I have this power.
And now you got to, when you go into the world, you need to start looking and noticing where those people are that are doing the things they don't want to do. Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit move you, that you also will cast out these demons and rebuke them. Why? So that you can bring the liberty of Jesus upon their life so they can do the things they want to do.
Amen.
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 This is the power that God has brought to you, that you are free. You have already received the Spirit. If anything tries to come upon you, thoughts, emotions, actions that are not what you want to do, you can rebuke it and cast it off in Jesus' name. You can get together with other people of golden heart and cast it off and rebuke it. If the spirit of sickness tries to come upon you, you can cast it off in Jesus' name. If the spirit of fear tries to come upon you, you can cast it off in Jesus' name. None of these things have power over you because you have been given the liberty in Jesus. He came, he lived, he died, he lived so that we could have that authority and that power when we invite him into our hearts. He now sets us free from any other things trying to come in and speak against us because now we have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside. And that is what gives us the power to walk and heal. It doesn't matter, spirit of sickness, spirit of back pain, spirit of difficulty, spirit of cancer. We cast it out. It has no power here because we have been given authority over it in Jesus' name. Amen.